by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome in to Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, where each week we bring in fine folks from Wyoming Game and Fish Department to give you all the information you need. And Janet, as we're finally in the, well, maybe it could snow again a couple more times, but yet the waters are all open and people are out fishing. There's a lot of fishing tournaments that have already happened. So that means that the AIS crews are busy.
That's right. And, you know, don't hold out on that snow being gone until at least the end of June. I can remember not too many years ago, it was like June 23rd, we were watching the flakes fly. So it could still happen for another, you know, full couple months here. But yes, AIS crews, as always, are out and about and busy. That's the thing about Game and Fish, as we've talked about 1,000 times, that it doesn't ever seem to die down for any position at any time of the year anymore, whether you're, you know, in fisheries and think that it's just the fun 3 months of summer that you're out killing yourself, or whether you're game wardens and that's just hunting season. It seems to be 24/7, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year anymore. And the AIS crew is non-exempt from that and have really been busting themselves to figure out some solutions for the Glendo Check Station for the AIS inspections.
I was at an event couple of weeks ago with the walleye fishermen in the area, and I had a couple of people come up and ask me about the Glendo AIS check station, because it's a little confusing for people, and there are some rumors, you know, that have flown around about why you're not in the middle of town anymore, but we'll get to that on another part of the show.
I was going to say, do tell me these rumors.
We want to get the information, though, that people need, because it is so important. And we brought in Eric Hansen to give us the expertise of AIS.
Absolutely. And Eric can fill us in on all those changes. And just as a reminder, you know, the importance of this information as it creeps closer and closer to our borders every year is just becoming more and more critical. And so we really appreciate the walleye anglers that you were out with being concerned about this, because, again, when this hits our waters, life is not going to be pretty for any of us, whether you're a water user in the sense of you like to drink water, which I think is fundamental to survival for all of us, or whether you're a jet skier or whether you're a walleye angler. And so, you know, we rely on Eric and his crew so much for keeping us safe and in those waters from aquatic invasive species. And so his information is critical as always.
Eric, one of the questions that was given to me before we get into the Glendo check stations and other check stations around the area is the AIS decals. So one guy said that he had already gotten his decal for 2025 and then got a new boat. So how does he work that situation? Does that transfer over, or does he need a new AIS decal?
That's a good question, Drew. And it's probably a great question for our office managers. You know, if folks wanted to call in and talk to our office ladies, they're usually pretty quick with that kind of stuff. But as far as I know, the AIS decal is tied to the registration.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The one thing about that I like to remind folks is that decal does go 100% to the AIS program. So that is a direct funding source for us. So, you know, if you do have to buy another $30 decal, you know, it's going straight to the cause, and that's money that can help us get more people out inspecting boats and updating equipment so that we can get folks in through the check station quicker. So,
which is, you know, the part of the concern that a lot of people have, because of, you know, everybody needs to get checked every time they pass a check station. But now in Glendo, things are a little different, because you used to have to drive right by that check station when you crossed into town. Now you guys have picked a different location for the first half of the season, and then another location for later on in the year, I think, right?
Yeah, Glendo's looking a little different this year. And, you know, a lot of folks can actually probably revel in the fact that they won't be passing the check station every time they go to the gas station, you know, to get gas or ice cream. So that'll definitely make a few people happy. A lot of the main questions that we're getting right now are, you know, kind of when folks need to seek us out. And that's the major thing that we want to make sure that folks understand the regulation and know when they need to seek us out. But yes, currently we're open at Bennett Hill Boat Ramp from Thursday through Sunday. Generally our inspectors are there sun up, and they're there for about 10 hours, usually till about 4:30 in the afternoon. So if folks are coming in from out of state and are too early or too late to hit our border check stations, you know, we still have that opportunity there for them to find us at the lake and get that inspection if needed.
So again, Eric just keyed in on the major thing that people need to remember is you need to seek out an inspection only if you're coming in from out of state. So if you, not if you're from out of state, but even if you're from Wyoming, you've crossed the borders, you've boated in another water outside of Wyoming and you're coming in, you do need to seek out that inspection before you launch. Even if you can't find a check station, even if they're not open, you need to give us a call and set up a time to have your boat inspected before it's launched, right? That's the rules and regulations around that. So that is kind of a challenge now that we have moved the check station. It's not quite as easy to find us, but you do need to do that. But if you're just coming back to Glendo and you live in Douglas and you've been there last weekend and you're coming back again and you don't see us in those times and places that Eric has explained, and you're not driving past those places, you do not need to find us before you launch. You are good to go because we know that you have clean drained and dried your boat and you are not harboring any AIS.
So, and obviously it's very important that everyone has the decal first off. So if you're coming from out of state, you have to get that decal, and I assume you can probably get that online, but then you have to stop at the check station when you come in, anytime you come into the state.
Yeah, that's actually a question we get quite frequently. You know, people are like, well, I'm good to go, right? I bought my decal. And the decal and the inspection are two separate things. The decal is a requirement to launch on Wyoming waters. And like I said before, you know, that's a funding source for the program. The inspection is the actual physical act of us taking a look at that watercraft, making sure that there's nothing crusty on it. There's no plants or critters that could be hiding in any corners. So those are kind of the two main things that folks get confused, you know, is that they have one and not the other. So both of those things are required to launch in Wyoming waters. But as Janet said, if you're just using Glendo every weekend and you live in Lusk or you live, you know, somewhere within the state, it's perfectly fine if you don't pass us to go ahead and launch. We do recommend if you do see us to stop and get a receipt just so you have one for the season, because it helps everyone out on the water as well.
And also, you guys offer a training to where you could actually, you know, do the inspections yourself and, you know, help out there, right?
Yeah, we host numerous trainings around the state. We've even hosted them in neighboring communities outside of the state in the past. So those are starting to kick off. We've had ones take place in Sheridan already. The one in Casper will be this weekend. So
no, it happened last weekend.
Oh, yeah, I did. It happened last weekend. Sorry. Time. It just gets away from me when you're so busy.
Yeah.
So it's a good opportunity for folks to learn more about those biological threats and really the ins and outs of what we are looking for in watercraft and how every different watercraft has different components that, you know, could make that more or less complex when you're taking a look at it. So it might seem pretty dull to some folks that all we do is inspect boats, but you'd be amazed that no day is exactly the same and we come across new things by the hour. So
and also I need to point out that just because you take that course or whatever and learn how to do it doesn't mean that you don't have to stop at the check station.
Absolutely. The program was more introduced as a tool for those folks that do care about their waters and, you know, are aware of what's going on in states around. And, you know, if they're coming from a clean water out of state and they don't pass our check station, that's a great opportunity for them to be able to have their boat legally inspected. But even in that case, you know, if there's a boat that's been in infected waters or positive waters, those private inspectors are, you know, taught to get a hold of us so that we can properly decontaminate that boat as agency personnel. So we work really closely with our private inspectors to make sure, you know, that they get the correct information and that they're passing that along to the public as well.
So as we're moving on, we talk a lot about Glendo just because of the big change, but that doesn't mean that if you're not putting on at Glendo that you don't have to stop at a check station somewhere else. And where generally are most of the check stations in our region set up?
So most check stations in Wyoming, we actually are a hybrid version of the inspection decontamination protocols in that we are mostly on our borders because we don't have zebra and quagga mussels in our state. We're trying to catch watercraft that are coming from other states into our state. We do have certain check stations at busier locations kind of as a stopgap and a backup for when those other locations are busy or folks are not recognizing that they're there and they're passing by and then realize like, oh, I needed an inspection and it's 2 hours behind me. Where can I find one in my route of travel? But generally those border check stations, almost all of them are going to be open 7 days a week here within the next couple of weeks. So folks can expect, you know, if they're coming into the state during daylight hours, look for a port of entry, look for a welcome center. You know, there are numerous signs that we have put out, digital messaging and ways for folks to find us. So
definitely important. Make sure you have the decal. Make sure you have the receipt that says you got the inspection and do your part to keep our waters clean, right?
Absolutely. And I would also like to remind folks, you know, with the Glendo situation, that this is kind of a temporary measure as we work on getting more permanent infrastructure located within the park. So, you know, in the future, folks can plan to see, oh, there's a fee booth and there's a check station and it's all kind of wrapped up into one, easy to manage and make sure that they're all legal and ready to go.
And then we did mention that it's starting in Bennett, and then by midsummer we'll go to Whiskey. Is that right?
Yep, we'll be at Whiskey Gulch later on in the summer as water levels adjust. Can't really give a certain date, as you know, with water adjustments and irrigation and things like that. But we have a pretty good idea, you know, that sometime around the 4th of July or shortly after, we should be able to be at both locations for a while, and then when Bennett's out of the water, we'll be at Whiskey.
So you've been boots on the ground, obviously, with this program for quite a while now, and how are things going so far this year? I know it's fairly early in the year, but you know, still you guys are out doing the job.
Exactly. It's been a different year weather-wise than usual. It's been an odd spring, so you know, we had very early ice off. The fish bite's been really great at waters around the region and I'm sure around the state. And so folks are out and, you know, we've seen some pretty busy weekends already. So it's tough to know what to expect with the big change at some of my check stations. But, you know, I still expect that we're going to see pretty decent numbers of folks and looks like usage is up just as much as it has been for the last few years. So.
Fantastic. Well, I've heard some good fish stories already from Glendo, and even places like Alcova and Pathfinder have really been a weird, odd, good fishing year. So it's exciting.
Yeah, let's hope it continues.
Janet, you may even be able to catch a fish.
I might. I doubt it. But if I do, I will make sure to let you know so we can all celebrate and everybody can go out.
If you want
we'll
more,
I'll keep doing a rain dance and hoping that are going to fill up and everyone will be able to have good fishing and good boating for the season.
Yeah, the water levels are pretty low, aren't they, right now?
Yeah, so the last report that I saw showed that the North Platte River drainage system is at oh, what was the number? Either 73 or 78. Those kind of look the same on an email. So 78% will go with of normal for the last 30 years. And so things are definitely going to be down and dry. And not too long ago, I was speaking to a rancher outside of Beggs who was saying that for the first time ever, they're already hauling water to their cattle. And so things are not good at this time of the year. You know, here we are in early May. And so it is tough, and we're hoping to have some fantastic drizzle rains over the next, you know, couple weeks. And like we talked about, you never know, the snow might fly till the end of June. And we kind of hope that that starts to kick in to help with water levels. The last estimation by the Bureau of Reclamation is that they will be able to keep water flows okay through the river, and that the reservoirs will be, you know, fairly normal. So that's not the concern yet, but you never know what happens with spring runoff and all that kind of stuff, what actually fills up. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. And Eric, does low water levels concern you for AIS situations with, if maybe water isn't is pumping out and moving a lot down the line a little more than normal?
Certainly in the terms of like boating and things like that, you know, we see a lot of changes as ramps start to come out of the water and low water levels affect people's ability to launch. Anytime, you know, that we obviously aren't getting the amount of water that we need, it's a struggle, and it's a big concern that if we are to get one of these infestations, you know, we're already worried about how much water we had, then we have to worry about the quality of that water as well and how we're treating it and making sure that, you know, we're not spreading things around as well.
So Eric, on things like New Zealand mud snails or curly pondweed, which are aquatic invasive species that we do have in different reservoirs and rivers around the state, does warmer water temperatures, let's just say the river is lower and the water temperature is warmer, does that blow up the New Zealand mud snail population even more? Do they love warmer waters?
It's all circumstantial from what I've seen, but in the past, you know, it does seem to appear that those warm, low water years, we seem to see more occurrences of AIS pop up around the state. There kind of seems to be a coinciding thing where, you know, we have those types of years and then there's a new population of curly pondweed discovered somewhere, or a large population of New Zealand mud snails pops up somewhere. So I certainly think it probably does play into, you know, you have less water in an area and you have a lot of things fighting for those resources. And the reason invasive species are invasive is because they do a really good job at what they do. And so if the conditions aren't great, that's a lot of times when they thrive. So,
well, you can find out more about AIS at wgfd.wyo.gov. And obviously, if you have questions or concerns, you can always contact Game and Fish too.
That's right. And Drew, one thing that I did want to let everybody know, that for cost savings measures right now, many of the regional offices in the Wyoming Game and Fish Department are undergoing a transition from landline phones to just using primarily our cell phones. And so you may have our direct line and that may be no longer reaching us. And so just make sure to reach out to the main, like here in Casper, 473-3400 is our main number, and they can certainly get you to us. And so just a little bit of patience as we're trying to save money and looking at different ways to do that. That is one of the ways that we're looking to help out our financial situation right now. And so be patient. We'll get back to you. Don't give up on us if we no longer answer our phones.
And obviously go right to the website. Information there, contact, email, you can get through that way as well.
Absolutely. Always there. And probably, to be honest, the best bet.
Yeah. And for AIS questions, we have an AIS hotline that's also available on the website. And those messages get disseminated straight down to the specialists in the region that they're responsible for. So if folks have pressing questions about AIS, they can also get a hold of that and leave a message for us.
Awesome. I didn't know that. Hadn't There's a lot of things
I do
know.
Are you not reading the website? I thought you were reading the website, Drew. Come
I just,
on.
I passed the phone number things, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't know.
There you go.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where we're to that time of year. Hiking, camping, hunting, fishing, loving the outdoors is happening.
There's a lot going on, and you know, we still got kids in school, but there's a lot of people that are taking advantage of these nice weekends that we're having.
Yeah, and parents, just as a reminder, your kids are in school most of the day, so if you're free in the morning, you could go and hit the lake or river.
Yeah, it's a great time, and the fishing around the Casper area has been actually really good, so now's the time to get out.
I know that when people come in, they kind of get, you know, a little discombobulated when they come in the score, because their brain wants to go here and here and here. But the way you guys have the store lined out, when you walk in, you look right to the left, and that's the fishing department. So you got everything fishing right there. But as you're walking to it, you pass some of the things that, like the new hummingbirds, and I know there's a lot of GPS trackers and situations there. So there really is opportunity to really hit everything that you need here in the store.
Well, and a lot of guys are getting those boats out for the first time, realizing that maybe their batteries aren't working quite right, or they just are ready to, you know, maybe update some electronics. And you mentioned the hummingbirds, and we do have the new Hummingbird Explorer models. So a great upgrade from the Helixes. They're easy to install. They've got some great features. We've also got the Minn Kotas in case, you know, you've got a bow mount that went out on you. It's now's a good time to update and upgrade those as well.
I know that we talked about the technology last week, how it's really advanced, you know, and I mean, if you need to replace a Minn Kota, is that a tough, you can just switch it in, switch it out because it all works together?
Yeah, if you're replacing an existing one, it's really easy. You know, generally you're just changing the plug on one end of the cable and plugging it in and go. I mean, the mounting is pretty simple, usually 4 bolts, and you can be on the water, you know, in less than an hour probably.
Are they a one-size-fits-all, or are there different levels of sizes and power?
There's a lot of different options on the Minn Kota line. You know, if you've got a pontoon boat, for instance, you might need a 72-inch shaft, you know, something longer to get down to the water, or if you've just got a really big, deep V boat. But typically, you know, a 60-inch shaft, 80 pounds of thrust, which is a 24-volt system, but we also have 36-volt systems as well for some of those bigger, you know, walleye boats that are out there, those 21 to 22-footers. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different options, and we can certainly help you identify which one is going to be best, you know, for your boat application, and we definitely want to get you in the right one.
Yeah, well, and that's a little intimidation factor, because if you're not sure, or maybe you're sending the wife or your kids in to get that, and that's one of the great parts about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. If you have an idea of what you need, you guys can finish the job and get you hooked up.
Yeah, we see a lot of you know, wives and girlfriends walking around with their phones trying to figure out what their boyfriend or husband sent them in for, you know. So, you know, a lot of times we're like, all right, what you looking for? And, you know, it's pretty easy to just take you right to the item if you ask.
It's payback for them sending the guys to the grocery store or the makeup store.
Well,
you know.
Well, it is better than trying to send them into, you know, the auto store for blinker fluid.
Yeah. Oh, man. Man, boy, that could be some harmful things there. But come on in and check them out here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, you know, I had a buddy came in here just a couple of weeks ago and really found the rifle that he's been looking for. And, you know, the gun counter guy's like, well, we don't need to order for it. You can just put it right on layaway now. So he's about to get it out. So nice. And that's one of the great things about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is you've got that option.
Yeah, the layaway program is great because, you know, some of these, you know, newer hunting rifles, they're tending to creep up a little bit, especially if you want a carbon fiber with the muzzle brake and, you know, specialty triggers and that kind of stuff. You know, you could be looking at, you know, $2,000, $2,500 for just a gun. And so if you want to pair that with a nice, you know, $1,000 scope, you know, all of a sudden that number gets, you know, moving up pretty good. Of course, we've got $300 and $400 guns as well. But if that that higher end gun is something that you're looking for, the layaway program is a great opportunity to do that. 20% down. We don't really hassle you on the payments or the terms on it. You know, we ask that you try to have it paid off in 90 days, but we have stuff that's definitely been here longer than 90, and guys come in and, you know, every couple weeks put $20 on it, and pretty soon, you know, it's paid off.
Is the layaway limited to just guns, or is it pretty much anything in the store?
No, we see a lot of optics, you know, a lot of like spotting scopes. You know, a guy wants a new pair of Swarovski binos. Yeah. You know, they're pricey, couple $3,000 sometimes. We see a lot of that. We see a lot of Garmin electronics, you know, new GPSs, that type of stuff. So those larger purchases, it's not uncommon for us to, you know, put things on layaway.
Well, if you haven't been in here for a while, get in here and check it out, especially now that we're all pretty excited about getting out. And I know we had some snow up on Casper Mountain, but I was up there this past week and most of the upper levels have melted off, and it was snowing when I was there. It got 2 inches, but right. You know, but still back in the trees and stuff, there's some, but hiking will be in full fledge before we know it.
Yeah, I think, you know, a good set of trekking poles is, especially this time of year with the conditions maybe being a little slick, you know, give yourself a little extra traction. But we've got all of our new Camelbacks in, so, you know, your water hydration, that type of stuff. Just packs for day trips, multiple day trips, whatever you're looking for. There's lots of options.
It really is worth it for you to stop in here. Check them out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Fishing is in full swing. We're in tournament mode now as the Tough Man Tournament happened last week, and it was a pretty good turnout.
And we crowned a winner, and I would say not a new winner because the team of Brandon and John Green and Brandon Miller won the tournament with a 29 and a half inch walleye.
Wow.
So, and it was a beautiful fish. And, you know, John Green is one of the original founders of the Walleye Club and this tournament. And he is the only person to my knowledge that has fished all 33 years of the Tough Man Tournament.
Wow. How awesome is that? And I know there were a lot of people there. The weather ended up turning out to be a great day. And to get a 29er at Alcova, yeah, pretty darn good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fish. I think there's about 40 trout and 40 walleyes caught throughout the day. There was 40 boats, 39 boats in the tournament. And we had a little bit of a fog delay in the morning. We launched maybe 15 minutes late just to let that fog come up a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot of good fish caught, and they were, you know, not only caught on the up in the canyon. There was majority of the fish were caught on the main lake. Had one guy out there that wasn't in the tournament that stopped and talked to us. And him and his family were out there just trolling, trying to see if they could find one of those elusive kokanees. Mm-hmm. And they came back with, you know, almost a dozen trout. So
wow.
They didn't get the kokanees, but they did get plenty of different rainbows and browns. So there's lots of good fishing going on out there. We caught from the shore. We were just waiting for boats to come in to measure fish. We caught one trout and one sucker from shore.
Shore fishing's always good, right? What'd you use when to catch the trout and sucker?
A slip bobber and a minnow.
No, just simple fishing.
It's just simple fishing. I love it, yeah.
Well, this weekend is the Boysen Tournament, which you were fishing in that one. And then next week is the first Wyoming Walleye Stampede.
That's right, yep. And weather's looking like it's going to be a typical tournament weekend with maybe a little bit of rain, probably some high winds, afternoon thunderstorms, you know, all that typical spring fishing that, you know, only the diehards want to be involved in.
It was funny. I was looking at my weather app. I have two or three weather apps, and on each of them, they're all a little different. But one of them goes right to Friday, May 9th, which is the Friday, the sign-up day, mm-hmm. rain and cold.
Yep, yep. That's a typical tournament weekend. It's just what we do.
Well, you know, and one of the things this week, you were down at Glendoe and did some fishing, and water's a little bit low, and it's cold water still at this point. So were the fish biting? Were you able to get the job done?
Yeah, actually, it was my first time on the water. Had a friend of mine come up and... you know, I told them, you know, no promises, you know, I haven't been on the water, but I'm sure we'll figure something out. And as he's getting in the boat, there's another gentleman on the boat dock. And he said, well, how's the fishing? And he said, well, I talked to the Game and Fish yesterday because they're doing creel surveys down there. And they said they only talked to two boats that had a limit of fish and a lot of people with zero or one fish. So that kind of took the pressure off me a little bit.
Yeah.
But we ended up catching 11 fish. We kind of bounced around the lake, jigs and minnows and twister tails and plastics, and pitched some crankbaits here and there, and picked up a few fish in each spot we went to, kind of. They weren't everywhere, but, you know, you work a shoreline long enough, you find a pot of fish. So kind of like we've talked in the past, you know, when you find those fish, stay on them because, you know, they're not everywhere.
Right. Well, yeah, if you're on them, you don't want to not be catching fish.
But there was an awful lot of boats down there. And, you know, one of the things I experienced is this gentleman wanted to go up to the river channel. And so we went up to the river channel, and there's a lot of people up there. There's 12 to 15 boats up there. And had a guy, I mean, I'm on the front of the boat casting and pitching, and a guy ran his boat full plane past me, I mean, maybe 15 yards, 20 yards from me, and just about threw me out of the boat. And, you know, that river channel, I mean, out of respect for people, I mean, it's against the law to go past somebody that's unpowered on plane within 100 feet of them. So, you know, for safety purposes, I mean, like those yeah. waves, especially in those canyons, you know, especially when you get up into like Alcova, it's a little bit tighter canyon. Those canyon walls, and once your wake hits that canyon wall, it comes back towards the middle of the lake and or to the, you know, and it causes some problems. So, you know, be respectful of guys. I mean, there are a lot of people out there. There's a lot of water, though. There's a lot of opportunities. There's lots of places that you probably have never fished that probably still hold fish. So grab another spot, grab another shoreline, be polite, help each other out. But I was already seeing some things and heard a couple of different people yelling at each other. It's like, yeah, we don't come out here to be stressed.
Right. Well, and that's kind of the part of it that people get very passionate about their hobbies and are about their, you know, their fishing and hunting and you know, ethics is we talk a lot about that with Game and Fish. You know, you don't want to make a bad shot, you know, right. That's not ethical. Same thing on the water, you know, and you do that. What if they would have dumped you in the water? The water is 49 degrees.
Yeah.
That's pretty cold. And, you know, that could put you in a world of danger.
Yeah. And who knows if there's another boat coming in behind him and you can't get out of the water. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. Luckily it didn't. But, you know, Maybe Game and Fish needs a little more enforcement up there. I don't know. But anyways, it was a good day, and the weather was great. Got a little sunburned, and hope to get back out to Glendale here in the next week or so.
Yeah. So make sure to swing on by here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And, you know, we always talk on this show about being prepared, and that could have been one of those situations that if you would have got dumped in the water – you know, if you're not prepared, you don't have a change of clothes, anything like that. But luckily, you got a bag on your boat with that you could swap out.
Yeah, like an extra set of rain gear on the boat's always good to have. You know, obviously, you're probably not going to have a full set of clothes to change into. But, you know, where you can get out of wet clothes and get back to shore, jump in a truck, you know, and get warmed up. Definitely just be prepared. There was a lot of people out there. Boat ramps were pretty busy. Game and Fish was doing their creel surveys, and then they had the AIS check station set up at Bennett. So you're gonna have to be patient, because to get through the process, it's just gonna take some time.
Right. Well, and with the water levels like it is, are all the ramps open at Glendale at this point?
Elkhorn Boat Ramp is still not open. I think it didn't look like it was completely dry to the dock, but like there's just a smidgen of water in that bay. So you're looking at all the other ramps are open. Water levels are about 10 foot lower than normal. So Kind of makes me cringe. Every once in a while, you know, I see a guy just running the shoreline with their boat, you know, and it's like, if you haven't fished these areas very much, you know, a lot of times these rocky points come out, you know, and there's a lot of them that are, you know, right there where you could take out the lower unit of a boat pretty easily. So, you know, usually I when people like from out of the area ask me like, what about this lake or that lake? You know, if you stay out in the main lake and then work your way 90 degrees into the shoreline, you're probably going to be okay. I mean, you're going to be able to see what's coming. But if you're going horizontal with that shoreline and trying to just rip up and down the lake on a shoreline, be cautious.
Yeah, and absolutely. And keep your eyes on your electronics there, too, because that'll help you out a lot.
At 50 miles an hour, though, electronics don't help you in that situation.
Yeah, probably not.
If you've got good mapping, that sometimes does help and identify some of those, you know, contours and those structures that come out. But in a lot of cases, you know, I mean, especially when guys are going 30, 40, 50 miles an hour across the lake, you know, bad things can happen, especially at Pathfinder. You know, we got that Jaws out there in the middle.
Right.
And it's out of the water right now. Still out of the water right now. But, you know, eventually it's going to be, you know, a foot under the water, and you're not gonna, if you haven't marked it and don't know where it's at, it doesn't show up on much graphing that I've seen that's commercially given. So, you know, I've got a really good friend that him and his dad hit that thing and lost their entire lower unit off it. So,
yeah, that's an expensive afternoon
And a scary one, too.
Yeah,
and maybe a trip to the hospital.
Yeah, gosh, nobody wants that for sure. It's a leisure fun day.
That's right.
Not stressful. All right. If you need anything, stop on by before you head out to the water. Get your minnows, get your worms, get all your bait and tackle right here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back to the show. It's always a fun time when Jay Fountain is in with Wild Hunters and Fishermen. And Jay, it's big because year four of you running the Walleye League starts this week. Kind of crazy. It's gone by that fast.
Yep, May 7th is the first one. It's going to be probably kind of chilly in the evening, so it'll be nice.
So what really goes on here is for what, gosh, 2 or 3 months out of the summer, you'll every other week alternate, go from Alcova to Pathfinder.
Yep. So we're going to start May 7th at Pathfinder, and then clear down to August 13th, we'll end at Alcova.
And that'll be when you do the championships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing a championship at both of them this year.
Yep, we did it last year. It turned out pretty cool. People had a lot of fun. So we'll do a two-day tournament, one day on a Wednesday over at Pathfinder, and then end the next Wednesday of the championship at Alcova.
It's kind of cool to do two of them like that.
Yeah.
So will everyone that is eligible for one be eligible for the other, or is it just for that specific lake?
Well, you're going to have to fish a certain amount of weeks to be able to qualify for the end of the year, and if you want to get in the championship, then you can get in the championship.
Okay. So how many weeks is it that you have to...
6 weeks this year. Last year, I think we did a total of 16 weeks, and you had to fish 8. So you have to at least fish half of it to be able to qualify for the end of the year. There's some people that really don't like Pathfinder, so they'll only fish the Alcova one. And then there's some people that only like Pathfinder and don't like Alcova, so they only fish the Pathfinder one. But as long as they fish at least half of them, they'll be eligible for the end of the year, and anybody can get into the championship if you want to.
So what I really like about the Walleye League is it's not just for adults. You get the kids involved, you bring the kids out, and you can have a couple of kids with you every week.
Yes, you can have as many kids under the age of 13 on your boat. It's usually a three-adult licensed angler. So 14 and up, you can have three people, but then you could have four kids under the age of 13 on your boat and just make it really fun, especially over at Pathfinder and catching a bunch of those smaller walleyes, and everybody's trying to catch the smallest one, and it makes it fun.
when you guys are doing this, you start, you launch at 4 o'clock, right?
Five.
5 o'clock?
Yep.
And then you can start registering at 4 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah. Check-ins open at 4, and then we launch at 5. Sometimes there's people that don't get off work in time, so they'll come out 5:30, 5:45. Just they let me know, and I sit and I wait for them. And
then you get a chance to get out and do a little fishing while you're out there too, don't you?
Yeah, I usually enter into every one of them every night, and then I'll take my girls out and I'll go fishing, or you know, like the time that you went out, mm-hmm. I took you and Kylie out and fished for a little while,
and still ran the tournament at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. So it gets pretty busy.
Yeah, I get to get on the water late, and then I got to get off early, which is perfectly fine with me because it's still, all of it's still fun for me. So.
Yeah, and like you said, you've been doing this a handful of years now, and every year you feel more comfortable about doing it, and every year it seems like there's some changes that you have to put in place.
Which is okay, but I kind of want to open it up a little more. So next year might be a little bit different.
Okay.
I'm going to get people's opinion. I usually wait to change anything, and I talk to everybody at launch. That way everybody's on board. I make it fair for everybody. Input's always cool.
So what does it cost for people to get in on the league?
So there's a one-time $20 registration fee, and all that does is create insurance on the boards, on my wayboards. In case if it gets broke, then I can purchase another one. And that's per boat. And then per angler, 14 and up is $15. And then 13 and under is $5. And then there's a big fish pot of $20. And then a small fish of $10. And a biggest trash fish of the night for $20.
So there's many opportunities. And it's always fun, especially your daughter has won a couple of times. She won the overall, didn't she?
Yeah, for the youth this year, she won first place. Last year, she took third place. She's pretty good at wiggling her fishing pole around and catching a nice fish. I don't know how she does it.
Isn't that funny? You know, we put all this thought and time and effort into it, and a little girl can, you know, uses her magical skills to pull them out.
A couple years ago, Kayla Armentrout, she caught a 30-inch. I think it was like a 31. It was bigger than the board.
Oh, my gosh.
But she was messing around with her pole and smacked the biggest fish of the year.
Gosh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Memories are made with the Ohio Hunters and Fishermen Walleye League 2025. You can go look on Facebook, get all the information there, and all that's what they search for, right?
Yeah, so we have a page specifically for league nights, and it's Wyoming Hunters and Fishermen League Nights. And then also if you jump on our sister page to that, which is the main page for Wyoming Hunters and Fishermen, all the information's on there as well.
All right. Get over there and check it out. Thanks again, Jay, and we'll see you out on the water.
Yep. Wednesday night at Pathfinder.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jay. That's going to do it for this week's show. You can go into the radio station's app, click On Demand, and listen to all of our episodes of Wyoming Hookin' and Huntin' Outdoors.
Wyoming Hookin' and Huntin' Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hookin' and Huntin' Outdoors.